Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what a blessing to be here once again and to come to you. Thank you for access. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that our names are written in the book of life. And thank you for we were born at this time and in this place and with the opportunity to know you and to receive you and to be yours forevermore. So here we are to intercede. Here we are to pray. May we be led by you, Holy Spirit, that we would redeem this hour together, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be in the book of Genesis again. John, would you touch those doors again? The blower is beginning earlier today. Maybe it'll be ending earlier. I heard this little story this morning. I just share with you. I'd always like Sunday school stories. This little boy came back from Sunday school, and his mom said, "How did it go today?" He said, "Oh, fine. We had a new teacher." "Oh, really?" "Yeah. And she's Jesus' grandmother." So his mother said, "Well, how do you know she was Jesus' grandmother?" "Well, all she did was show us pictures and talk about him." So I thought, well, that doesn't fit us too well today, but Jesus is in every page of the Bible. And we are in Genesis 18, and we had three men appeared to Lot, appeared to Abraham last week, and one of them was, we believe, Jesus Christ in a theophany's form. And we have that story continuing today. They were told, that was last week where Sarah was laughing, and I still have thought about that this week, you know. If I'd been barren all my life, and the angel now tells me that in 9 months, or about 9 months, because said a year ago, 3 months earlier, it was like a year ago, a year will happen, and now here's about 3 months later or so. And so it's all on her now, right? Because she's going to bring Isaac into the world. And are you up for that task? Probably you wouldn't think you were so much up for that task if you were past the age of childbearing and you had prayed all your life to have a child and it was never answered or whatever. So I'm not surprised she laughed. But we move on then to the last part of that chapter. And verse 16 reads, "Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said," I love that, "Abraham went with them." How often do you go to be with the Lord, or do you follow him? Because this interchange would have not happened, I don't believe, if Abraham had not gone with them, if he had just stayed in the tent or stayed under the tree there in memory. But it says, he went with them to send them on his way. And now this is a beautiful statement. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing?" Here's the reason he's going to share with him. "Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him," why? "In order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice." That's an awesome thing for the Lord to say about a person, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, how we would be keeping the way of the Lord, how we would be doing justice and righteousness. We see now prayer definitely begins, it always does, but here's a beautiful example. It begins with God. So God is going to tell Abram about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 20, "And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know." And as I read that, I think, yeah, that's, 4,000 years ago, maybe. But is it any different today? Is there any outcry from the wickedness in the world today? Is there any reason to believe that Jesus is not going to come and destroy this world very soon? So we're almost in Abraham's position, it seems to me. And we too have nephews. We too have nieces. We too have sons and daughters and others that don't know the Lord. And here the Lord tells Abram that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness they're in. And of course, I know that Abram would remember Lot, as we will read a little later in the passage. And so now Abram hears this. So it's kind of, in a way, like the Lord lets us know things to enlist us in prayer, doesn't he? To enlist us in prayer for what he wants to do. And so he tells Abraham this, and we have this little interlude now, or not interlude, but then verse 22 says, then the men turned away, and these are the two men. We don't know about the Lord, other than in verse 24 in the next chapter, he says, I'm destroying the city now. So we don't know if he went there or, you know, he doesn't have to be anywhere, especially he can be wherever he wants to be. But the two men went. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. And Abram came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? What a prayer. Notice that prayer is all based on mercy, no justice in that prayer, because there's no reason to spare the wicked, is there, other than mercy? Abram begins by praying to protect the righteous, because he said, would you destroy the righteous for the wicked? But he'll end up really, when he gets these numbers coming down, he really ends up asking the Lord to protect the wicked because of the righteous. Abraham says, far be it from you to do such a thing as this. Now, you and I both know in prayer that we know the character of God, and we know what's for God, generally speaking, and maybe not in every case, but in generally the principles, we know what God stands for and what he is. He's merciful. He's just. He's always right. And so when we know he's going to do something, we know, and if it's in accordance with the word of God, that's what we can pray for, right? He speaks to us through the word, and we speak to him through prayer. So Abram says, suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked. He's got that part right, doesn't he? He really does. So that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We know the answer to that rhetorical question. Yes, indeed. The Lord answers, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now, if you were Abraham, what would you have done? Well, you might have thought, well, let's see, there's five cities here. I don't know, in all five, maybe there may be, if that's just 10 righteous per city, maybe that's 50, you know, maybe I'll cut it down a little bit. Maybe just one city, if we can find 50 in one city. Well, you know, I don't know. Lot's got girls, and I don't know how many he's got, but we know at least four in the account. I don't know if there's 50 there or not. Concerned about the lost, isn't he? So he's going to pray for them now. And he's going to come very humbly. He says, then Abraham answered and said, indeed, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. How do you approach the Lord in your prayers? Are you approaching him in, now you do this, Lord, now you do that, Lord, and I'm demanding you do this. And so, no, I don't think so. Abraham approaches very much humbly. I am but dust and ashes. I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord, although he's responding to the Lord, I believe, because the Lord put it in his heart. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were five less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for lack of five? So this is the second request now. So the Lord said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And Abraham, number three now, speaks to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he's still going down in increments of five. So the Lord said, I will not do it for the 40. Now Abram's getting more bold in verse 30, the fourth time. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, suppose 30 be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. So notice the persistence in this intercessory prayer. How persistent are we? We just throw up a little feeble, well, Lord, save 50 and move on to the next thing? Or do we really kind of go after it until we really feel we've taken it all the way to the mat, so to speak? Verse 31, and the Lord said, indeed, now I've taken it upon my, or Abraham had supposed 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And now the sixth time, Abraham says, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Been a lot of speculation about that as the stopping point. Maybe Abram thought, well, you know, Lot's got 8 in his family or thereabouts. You know, he must have, somebody else in that whole city must know the Lord, so 10 probably will get it, protect Lot, right? I don't know what he thought. It doesn't tell us. But it does say the Lord went his way. So the Lord ended that conversation, didn't he? So the Lord went his way as soon as the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So what a heart that Abram has, and how God drew out his faith in this negotiation, it would seem. Now, one might say, well, it didn't really matter because God destroyed the city anyway. But we read on to chapter 19, and the verse 29 says, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. And aren't you happy that the Lord would not destroy the city until Lot, righteous Lot, was out of the city? What does that tell you and I about the church going through the tribulation? What does it tell about us being appointed to wrath? The righteous people are not appointed to wrath. The wrath is for the unrighteous. So we look back on this and are so thankful. In the midst of all of that, of course, the Lord said, get out of here, Lot, because I can't destroy the city until you're out. So we're saved, hallelujah. We're protected, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But those around us, many of them are not, and we need to pray for them. And I think we need to pray just more than save Joe or save John or save Bob or save whoever it is. I think we need to pray for their recognition of their sin and their repentance of their sin and their confession of their sin. And unless we do that, I mean, I don't think the job gets done, do we? I really think that they need to see their sin. They need to repent of it. And sometimes it's just accept Christ and you're saved forevermore. And that, to an extent, that's true. But unless we know why we're accepting him, we're accepting him because we desperately need him, because we're headed for hell because of our sin. And there's no way to stop that other than through Jesus Christ. So he's the one that we want to pray for and to pray against those strongholds. So, Father, all of us probably have right now 1, 5, 10, or whatever, 20, 50, in our minds that come to you where we have told them about you many times in some cases. And yet they are still living just like the world. There's no sign that they are yours, even though in some cases they have said they are yours and they're happily going along saying, I'm saved. But will you know them on that day? And if they're just like the world, it doesn't seem like that's a good place to be. So we pray for them this morning. And as we have time to pray together for a few moments here, guide us by your Spirit that you would lay on our hearts, just like you laid on the heart of Abraham to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah. So you're revealing right now by your Spirit, and you will, to each of us things to pray for. And as led by your Spirit, we'll all be in one accord. So guide us now, Lord, in these moments of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we know that you will. Your word says the wicked will be dealt with. Righteousness will be established on this earth when you return. And Lord, seems like it's all a matter of time. It's all going to happen. But the days for salvation are going down one at a time for every living human being. And so, Lord, we pray for their salvation today, that today would be the day that they would turn to you now. We pray for all of those taking their last breath, even during this hour of prayer that we're right here. And how many that is, we don't know, but it could be hundreds, that they would remember you. And even as the thief on the cross, up until a few hours before he was with you, really, everybody would have thought no hope for that man. And yet he turned to you. And so, Lord, we know it's never too late, but Lord, it is getting later for each one who do not know you. And so we pray for them today. May this be the moment. In Jesus' name.
Well, Jesus Christ would grow and flourish in the Capitol building. And as crazy as our Supreme Court is, Lord, I pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ would grow and flourish among the U.S. Supreme Court people. And Lord, I just pray that you'll do a great, great ministry in our country this year, God, in Jesus' name.
Let's break into small groups now and just grab a partner, so groups of two, so half of us can pray all the time. Let's close by singing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. The words are on the top of your notes. Father, we thank you for meeting us here once again this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for the access we have to your throne. And Lord, may we continue in prayer. May we rejoice always, praying without ceasing, and in everything, giving thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Bless each one because they came, Lord. And the individual needs that are here, Lord, I know you will meet them. And we pray for Colleen and others who are not here today that you would just comfort, bless, heal, strengthen, and guide them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.